Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I'm back once again with another awesome episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And every once in a while, what I try to do is try to inject a different type of inspiration. I think with the current conditions in the marketplace around the globe, the coronavirus wreaking havoc, postponing my Everest trip, not to count all the thousands of people being affected by this, having to stay home. There's this new hashtag social distancing that we're all coming to grips with on what that means for each and every single one around the world. And certainly we're all affected here in the United States. Before I get to my first guest today, I just remind everybody to please go in, give this podcast a ratings and review. As I always continue to say, it's not about me. It's about the people I bring on the podcast, like Kenyon Sallow, that I'm very fired up to have on the pod to talk about really great things. And we all need inspiration. And that also includes me. Also, if you want to find out anything what's going on, I continue to update my blog, www.markpattisonnfl.com. And you can find out everything about my climb. I pushed out Everest to 2021, where I'll be back on and with a vengeance training, and you guys can follow along that journey. And also, you can find any of my social channels. So on that note, let's jump into the pod. Again, I want to tee up and give Kenyon Sallow a warm welcome to the pod. Kenyon, how you doing?
Pretty phenomenal. Thanks so much for having me, Mark. I'm really fired up to be here and have this conversation with you and for all the listeners.
Yeah, so I'm interested in the word that you just used, phenomenal, because a lot of people aren't phenomenal right now at this time. And you know, I am always one, like somebody, a lot of people, my Everest trip after planning, you know, over really the last year of preparation and then the huge disappointment of my trip. And this pales in comparison to some of the lives being affected and lost right now. And they said, oh, Mark, you must be so disappointed. And I came back and said, you know, actually, I see it as an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me to get bigger, stronger, train harder, and another year where I can really have that goal out in front of me or something I'm going to shoot for. And it's obviously it's the tallest mountain in the world and one of the most difficult ones to be up there. So it was really my mindset that was able to help me get through my disappointment of not going after, at least right now for the next 12 months, after something I've been planning really all my life for. So when you say phenomenal, tell me why you're phenomenal.
Well, you see, Mark, every single day we have an opportunity to decide how we're going to participate in that day. We can show up at 50%, 75%, or 100%. Ultimately, the way I look at it is I'm alive and I've got a day ahead of me. It's a day that I didn't know I had. And all of a sudden, my eyes open up. I've got a chance to be able to take advantage of it. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. And it is so crazy with what's happening right now because it is one of the few things that collectively is a shared experience around the entire world. So we're having this shared experience. And in some areas, it's more tumultuous than others. In some areas, it's harder hit. Some areas, it's just more severe. And their experience, sure, is much more different than some others' experiences where they hear about it or maybe they're just picking it up on the news, but not locally. It's something that's impacting them. But ultimately, it's still a shared experience. And I've always decided that nothing happens to me. It's how I react to it. And sure, I have my days where I'm like, whoa, this is nuts, and I'm being challenged by it. But at the same time, I say, well, what's the opportunity? And that's like something you said, the opportunity here. What's the opportunity to succeed? What's the opportunity to learn today? What's the opportunity to help somebody? What's the opportunity to make myself a better person? And just take a look at the world, because at the end of all this, it will still be a shared experience that we will all talk about for years and decades to come. And it'll be something like, wow, remember when? What did you do to get through it? And so for me, to get through it, I choose to be positive and phenomenal as often as possible, and at minimum, at least level, but always baseline level and anything and above.
Yeah, that goes to something that I'm a big believer of. And you know, so you take that to mindset, right? So that's not something like your muscles or your bones or your heart functioning. That is literally inside your hair. It's between your ears. And where your focus goes, your energy always follows, right? And the question is, what do you want to focus on? And if you want to focus on, 2% of the population right now is passing from this awful virus, and there's a lot of people in the hospitals over. Yeah, that's all true, but there's also some amazing stories that are coming out of this. And you know, what can you do to really protect yourself? And I believe I don't think I'm unique in this way at all, but I do believe that one of the things that can help create that force field around you, that shield, is going out every single morning, waking up and exercising in some capacity. So am I disappointed now that the gym down the street is closed? Yes. And so what can I do? Well, you just kind of go back to nature, and you can still run up and down the street. You can still do push-ups, and there's all kinds of different apps that they're coming out. They're probably more popular than ever to help you keep your conditioning. But you know, I don't know. I mean, again, it goes back to where your focus is, your energy follows. So, you know, if you open up your mind to possibility, anything can happen in terms of what you want it to be. I want to go back and I want to kind of reset, because I love the way you think. I love the way that you attack each day. You talked about 50%, 75%, 100%. It's your choice. You know, what do you want to show up with? I want to mention that you're one of five members of the Denver Bronco Thunderstorm skydive team, which means that you've done over 6,000 skydives. I've done three, by the way, where you're literally flying in and out of an airplane with a parachute on your back, and you're around 60 miles per hour and you land into the Denver Bronco Stadium. So what, you know, like, that takes a certain level of mindset right there just to jump out of a plane, because I've done it, like I said. And you know, it's really freaky when you're looking down. You've done it so many times, I'm sure it's second nature. But how in the world did you ever get that gig?
Well, we are very, very lucky. Basically, what happened is, so there's always the pregame. There's always the pregame show. Stadiums love to do it, and they bring in all types of entertainment for the fans. And originally, they had some military jumping in, and they had very large parachutes, but there was a challenge in terms of whether it was going to be a flyover or it was going to be the military jumpers. And while they were trying to make those decisions, they ended up hearing about this thing called swooping. And swooping is high-performance canopies coming in at a high rate of speed and landing with pinpoint accuracy. And so the personnel at the Denver Broncos Stadium approached Mile High Skydiving, and they basically said, hey, can you do this? Could you do swooping into our stadium? We think it would be a really great performance for the pregame. So the team tested it out. This was way back in 2009. They tested it out. They did 100 jumps into the stadium for practice. And that was a combined type of scenario. And then they realized that this was something that they could do on a regular basis for the games. And it evolved over the years. We've been doing it over 10 years now. And we are the only team that is associated with an NFL football team. Sometimes there's military, sometimes there's Red Bull for other stadiums. But no other NFL team has a dedicated skydive team for every single home game. And we jump in, coming in at about 50 miles an hour, 60 miles an hour, down the stands, straight down the field, and then landing right before the end zone. And it's really all for the fans. We do it for the fans. They love it. It's one of the most favorite things that they look forward to, and we look forward to it also.
What kind of plane are you jumping out of?
Well, it depends. Sometimes it's a twin otter. Other times it's a King Air. So King Air holds about 14 people for skydiving. And Twin Otter holds about 23 people for skydivers.
I can remember years and years ago when I did my tandem. I want to define. I've done tandem three times. So obviously you're jumping out on your own. But when you're a beginner, you know, that's fine with me. But I felt as though like going up in this, you know, as you go, and you're going up and up and up in the sky, I felt more scared about this stupid plane, this little Cessna that we're in, than actually jumping out of the plane itself. I mean, I didn't know if we're going to make it, and the motor is sputtering and all kinds of stuff. But we did that. And then this last year, last summer, I live in Sun Valley, Idaho, and I jumped off the top of the mountain. I'm not sure if they call that paragliding or what that is. But
yeah, paragliding.
But the interesting thing, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, swooping again, but literally as we're coming in, and now we're a couple hundred yards off the ground, and the way that we're turning these chutes, it was almost like you're on a yo-yo. So if you can imagine doing like the old walk the dog where your string is extended all the way and the yo-yo is at the very bottom and your hands at the very top and, you know, just like start whipping it around like 100 or 360 degrees. And I mean, it was pretty darn scary coming in. You must have had, being in Denver is always got crazy weather. I mean, sometimes it's fine like any other place, but you know, it's called Mile High Stadium. So you're already up 1 mile into the sky, 5,000 feet. So I have to imagine you've experienced some tricky situations where you've come in where the weather isn't necessarily agreeable, yet you guys have jumped out and, you know, obviously we're having this podcast, so it's worked out okay.
Yeah, sure. That's one of the biggest challenges, because when we jump into the stadium, we have a lot of factors to consider. We have to consider, is it daytime or nighttime? Do we have pyrotechnics on or not? Are there cable cams from the cable cam set up or are there not? And then, of course, at that point is, what are the weather conditions up above where we exit? And then what are the conditions at the rim? And then what are the conditions on the field? And sometimes the direction of wind can be different at the rim, which is about 150 feet. Actually, that's where the field goal cables are. So the rim's about 300 feet. Field goal cables at 150 feet. We can't hit those, obviously. And so we have to take everything into account. Now, we do have parameters. We have skydiving rules and regulations, and the parameters say that we can't jump with winds over 14 knots. We abide by those rules. So that's first and foremost. But you see, the thing is that sometimes there's a gust, and sometimes it's 3 miles an hour, and then it gusts 12 miles an hour. And as we're coming in, the wind direction is changing. There's thermals from the heat from the bodies inside the stadium. And we have to take all that into account. And then on top of it, we have to be able to adjust, come in, and there is no out. Someone says, what are your options? Well, the options are the sidelines and the goal lines. And that's it. We have to stay on the field. There are no other options of places to land once you commit to going into the stadium. So we abide by those rules, and everybody over all the years, 10 years we've been doing it, has had phenomenal landings within the field, and we have a perfect safety record.
Well, that's the key, like everything that you do that's out there. But it also gives the crowd a lift. I mean, I can only imagine when you guys are coming in, it's such as inspiration or anticipation of this really cool thing. It's almost like the jets flying over a stadium or something. You know it's coming, but it's cool every single time it happens. So it must give a heck of a lift. This kind of opens up to a bigger question. When I skydived for the first time, it was amazing in that I felt like after doing that, I could do anything, you know, because I don't know if it was the barrier of jumping out of a plane, you know, at 10,000 feet. I'm not sure what that was, but there was just this complete freedom that I felt from flying through the air, free falling for, I don't know, 30 seconds to a minute, and then, you know, gliding all the way down the earth and actually surviving it. But what does it do for you? What does it do for your mindset in terms of everything else, the way you approach your life?
Well, ultimately, and we'll use the skydiving into the stadium as the example, it's always a challenge for me. So every single game is something that I have to focus, and it's kind of like Tiger Woods. So he's taking a look at the winds and the conditions and everything he has to do. We have to do the same thing. And sure, most nerves or anxiety or stress or any excitement feelings happen while in the plane. The second that we exit the plane, when we're committed, is when the execution comes and that trepidation isn't there anymore. If you have trepidation when entering in the stadium, it's going to be bad news. So basically what happens is once we've exited the plane, that's the commitment. Well, what does that really say? It's really coming down to the fact is all our fears and all our things that are keeping us from doing what we want to do in life is the story we create prior to the execution, prior to the commitment. It's all what if, what if, what if, but what if you just took the leap and then let it all unfold? And I say that all the time when I speak from stage, is that you say yes and you let the how figure itself out later. And so that's what happens. We exit the airplane and bam, we're on it. It's like game time. It's a mindset. And you know about game time. You know what it takes to be able to have that winning success. And that's really what it comes down to, is that we exit game time, go land on the field, high five the fans on the way out, and we're fired up and that energy is there. So they're fired up, we're fired up, and everybody wins.
One of the things I love what you just said was really, I think, taking out the variables and really getting your mindset ready. So when you jump out of a plane, you've done all the preparation, you've thought about the wind, you've talked about, you know, that particular day, what the conditions are, you know, the different obstacles on the field that you're coming down to. I kept having that same reaction with so many people. There's been a lot of drama and a lot of coverage over Mount Everest and some of the things that have happened up there. And there's no question that not only on those mountains, but other mountains around the world, there's been at times tragedy, but there's also been a lot of triumph. And so kind of like what you're saying, you know, I used to do this. I always walked into NFL or college stadiums with butterflies, but I always came in prepared. I knew what I had to do. So it seemed like when I was actually on the field, I was the only single person that was out there and I could hear a pin drop, even though there's 100,000 people in the stands. And just like with the mountains, you know, what so many people come to me at was about the 3% every year that don't make it back from Mount Everest, right? And for me, focusing on the 97% of the things that you can do to put yourself in the best possible place to win, get up top, get back down. So you don't become that that statistic. I mean, it just to me, it's just a very simple thing. So the question is, at 97%, what can you do? Just like what you're talking about, of doing all the preparation, doing all the factoring, and warning forecasting, getting together with your teammates. It's no different than anything I think anybody else does in terms of going out there. And with mountain climbing, of course, it's very physical, but it's also mental too, in terms of being able to overcome those different things. I want to talk to you about, because I think this, you know, again, I want to draw parallels right now for anybody that's out there that's struggling. We're struggling because people are losing their jobs. We're struggling because everybody's at home. I think in general, when people have tragedy, we want to come together, and we're being told just the opposite, and that is to, you know, push apart, stay apart. And so I think goals play into a lot of drive, motivation, mindset. And you have this great thing that I really love, and I haven't even thought about it this way for a long time, but it's called a bucket list life. And so I want you to talk to me about your bucket list life. For you, what does that mean? And then I want to tie it into maybe some things people can do right now as we're sitting around. We probably got more time on our hands because you're not going to the movies. You're not going out to the boutique shop to buy some pants or a shirt. And so it's more time to, I think, sit and think about where you're at and where you're going. So let's start with the bucket list life.
Yeah, the bucket list life is the concept that I came up with. It's how I live my life. And additionally, it's the exact concept that I share from the stage with audiences around the world. And it's three very basic parts to it. The first part is, if you're ever feeling stuck in life, you just need to create an experience. Say yes, let the how figure itself out later, and create an experience. And that's really, you know, hey, I have something on my list. I want to go do that thing. I want to check that off. And that really comes down to self. It's about doing something you want to do. It rolls into the second part, which is share more stories. And share more stories is about connection. It's the opportunity to connect, to bond. It's about friends and family and relationships. And I believe that's really important because that's how we feel like we're somebody and we're able to learn, and we're also able to share what we learn. And then it rolls into the last part, which is living more fulfilled. And the way we live more fulfilled is by helping others. And when we help others first, everything we desire comes back tenfold. And it's the real reason we're on this earth, is to live more fulfilled by helping others. And that's really all about community. Now, what I find fascinating is how this is playing out in real time with the coronavirus and the world. First, as I mentioned earlier, we're having a shared experience. People on the planet are experiencing in one way or another this factor that has come in and said, now your life is going to be somewhat different, a lot different, completely different. And so that's the experience that we're all sharing. But here's the other part about it. I know that so many people, when I would say from stage while I was speaking, would be like, hey, go out and do that thing in the next 6 to 12 months. They're like, oh, no, I don't know. And that really comes out of the fact that they think they have more time. But now, all of a sudden, the majority of the countries, and maybe in parts of the world, are locked inside. And I know that they would kill someone who said, I'm not so sure about skydiving. If someone said, you get to leave your house today and go do something, and it's going to be skydiving, they would be like, yes, anything to get out of this house, I'm going to go do that. The second part about this whole thing with coronavirus is we all have stories. We've heard stories. We're sharing our own individual stories. We're doing it online. We're doing it through social media. And then we're sharing it with people through the phone or on Zoom calls and things like that. So we're all sharing our shared stories about this experience. And lastly, it comes down to the fact that we're going to succeed through this is because of the helpers. The helpers are out there, the people that help, that are going to make this thing be a thing of the past. And the helping part, like how can I help my neighbor? How can I help my relative? How can I help my community? How can I help in any possible way? And the doctors and the nurses and the medical and anybody who is still working, like people at the grocery store, in a sense, are helping because they've chosen to work so that the rest of us can have food. So I celebrate anybody who's helping during this process. And so I find it fascinating that what I share from the stage is absolutely applicable to what's going on in current world events.
So I want to relate that to myself. As an example, you just went through the 3 points, and then I want to relate this back to you. Okay, so you got a minute to think about this. So as I was thinking about this, you know, the first thing you said is it created an experience. So for me, going through a tough time, a lot of people who listen to this pod know this, I decided to set a big goal out there. So I wanted to become the first NFL player to climb the 7 summits. So it wasn't just a goal. I mean, I guess it's wrapped into one goal, but there's 7 different mountains. And in some cases, I've had to do them twice, right? So that creates the experience. And then the connection is now going out and meeting all these people from all over the world, coming together when we're going to go to, you know, Kilimanjaro, Mount Elbrus, Aconcagua down in Argentina. Every single time I go, I've never traveled one time with anybody who I know. I always show up and I meet people, and then you become best friends for 3 weeks or 2 months, right? So that would be the connection. And then the last is living a more fulfilled life when you start to share it or help in some way. And because I stepped into the fear, because I went and I shared an experience, because I'm now able to have this connection with other people, I started some different social platforms, which have grown in really good size, which I was able to put together a charity this last couple months. My daughter, who has epilepsy, called Amelia's Everest. We raised $30,000, and it was a very successful event. So, you know, so the circle to me is not complete because I want to do another circle, right? And I still have to complete Everest. But for you, what would that be, relatively speaking, for you, how you've had all three of those things touch your life?
Well, ultimately, what it comes down to is that for me to feel phenomenal, like you said, not many people are phenomenal, is I need to be doing 1, 2, or 3 of those things at any given time and in any possible way. So obviously being on a podcast is sharing a story. I'm sharing my story and I'm able to share with you and hear your story. and that type of thing. Now, it's quite possible that this podcast could help somebody else. It's quite possible that somebody listening right now is going, that is exactly what I needed. So in that process, I know that when I'm getting the message out there, that it has the potential to help another human being, which is why I do my very best to be on as many podcasts as possible so I can impact lives out there. And ultimately, it's still experiences. And for me, I say, okay, well, what's my experience going to be today? Well, today's experience is like, okay, great. My son is done with his schoolwork. We're going to go out for a bike ride and we're going to be able to ride bikes together. And then we're going to go to an empty field and we're going to do some running and then we're going to ride our bikes back. So that's the experience of today. Now, look, there are all kinds of experiences. They can be extreme experiences like, oh, I would love to fly my wingsuit out of a hot air balloon in over the Serengeti during the sunset and land in a field and not get eaten by lions and jump into a Jeep and then have some wine. Okay, that's an experience on one end. But what about the other experience? Maybe the other experience is like just sitting and reading in a wonderful cabin in the woods. What if your experience is watching your son or daughter get married? What if one of the experiences is something that you went to a new restaurant once they open again, and you had that experience? So there's so many ways to be able to do this. And, you know, I'll say lastly is that it doesn't matter whether I jump out of planes or someone drives super, super safe to work. The thing is, all of us are on a level playing field. None of us knows if we have a tomorrow. And I think that's very applicable in the world's current state, where we're all questioning tomorrow, and we will all know somebody who got the coronavirus, and many of us will know somebody who unfortunately passed during this time. And so what I hope is that there's a lot of reflection happening for people where they come out of this and they say, you know what? I'm ready to experience life full on. I'm ready to connect more with others and share my story, but also learn their stories. And ultimately, how can I help someone else? Because you know what? While I was cooped up in my house, I really just want to be around people and help them. So I think that's very challenging for the world right now. And I hope that when we come out of this, that there's just an outpouring of all those three things.
Yeah. I mean, look, for me, I go back and I always take a, you know, I always perspective, I guess is where I'm going with this. And the, if you look over the history of the world, we've gone through these plagues, these black plagues, three or four different times, right? It's probably more than that, but that's what I have found. And every single time, just like a financial crisis, we've always come out on the other side. And we're so reactive in so many different ways. And you see the news, it's blowing up and you can't turn a channel without talking about the coronavirus for all the right reasons. But we will get out of this and we will get to the other side. And the question is, you know, what are you going to do about it when we do get to the other side, when we can reconnect? You know, how are you going to value those relationships? How are you going to be able to involve yourself in a charity, if not, you know, in a hospital right now, helping these different people out? What is the big goal that's out there? And one of the things that you said, that even though my goal happens to be a big goal, not everybody's goal has to be my goal. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't be the goal. And it's just the whole idea of accomplishment, like you said, reading a book. But I think the whole key at the end of the day is, as long as you're making strides in a positive way, that's going to have an impact on yourself and your growth. And ultimately, the way you can shed that positivity around, that's where the real magic comes in and kicks in. And then all of a sudden, you have an extra little kick in your step. You've got a little extra spark, you know, when you're out there and you're talking to people. And then people are starting to say, you know, where'd you get that? You know, what's going on? Did you have something new, you know, a new job, new this, new relationship? You know, it doesn't matter what it is, but it's being neutral, it's being stuck, it's being quickstand, it's being that whole idea of just being average. And average is easy. And so, you know, accomplishing something, again, it could be making a table or reading a book or sewing you know, something together. It doesn't really matter, but that's moving the ball down the field, and that's where life gets exciting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so for you, in terms of, again, let's go back to skydiving, because I think skydiving is so metaphorically speaking, you know, that you're jumping out of the plane, you're risking your life, you're doing all these different things that, you know, really, I'm sure, speak to you and motivate you. You've probably been with the same team, like you said, for the last 10 years. Has there been a time or two when you got up there and you guys were about ready to jump the plane and maybe one of the five that you normally jump with couldn't make it, or there was some unique situation that just got really hairy, the plane wasn't working, where you're really questioning whether or not you should do this or not?
You know, in that scenario, we shouldn't be there if that's the case. So have there been times where we've been over the stadium and that we've had to back out of the jump and not actually get out of the plane and go back to the drop zone and land the plane? Yes. And that was because weather conditions, whether the clouds became too low all of a sudden, or there was a thunderstorm, or the winds gusted up, or for whatever reasons, we're unable to exit. You know, that happens usually about once a season when that becomes a factor. Sometimes we don't even take off in those scenarios. Now, generally in skydiving for me, there's been 22 times that my main parachute has not worked and I've had to go to my reserve parachute. Now, sometimes this has been on just some fun jumps where I had my regular parachute, or on some wingsuit jumps where I've been flying my wingsuit and the parachute didn't come out correctly, or even on some tandems. I had 7 tandems where on the tandem, the parachute didn't work correctly and we had to go to the second parachute. And a lot of times the tandems don't even know. A lot of times the tandems are like, wow, wait, how's it going? I'm like, hey, do you see that over there? That was a pink parachute, the one that's falling to the ground. They're like, no way. I'm like, look up. We have a white parachute above our head. And so they're pretty amazed by that factor. It's just kind of how it works. But you know what? Skydiving is, you know, ultimately safe. And the thing is, it has the backup systems. And so because there's redundancy there, and I know that the reserve parachutes are meticulously packed, I've never had a concern with that, and it's been great. And so, especially with the Team Thunderstorm, we take safety at the utmost level. You know, we know that we have the entire NFL on our hands, meaning that they're watching, TV stations are watching, people are watching, and those types of things. And we take it very, very seriously. And that's why it's very select few that get on the team. And then every single game we have practice prior, and then we do the game itself. And so practice makes perfection, and perfection is what happens on game day. And that's what we do.
I want to ask you about the word fear. Okay. So, cause I think it goes across so many different platforms right now. It could hold somebody back from skydiving, certainly with the coronavirus right now. It's got so many people, you know, just locked down and gripped by fear from going out. And I know there's social distancing. It's real. I mean, it's not fake. But, you know, what do you think that people can do in terms of just putting fear in perspective to be able to go out and again, go after those things? And I'm assuming that all this is going to lift. But I think it's still, you know, it goes back to something that you had said before about life, you know, about you never know when you're going to have your next day. There's a book I read years ago, and there's a guy that, smart guy, he was a professor at a college, and he had like 3 months to live. And so he wrote this book, and all of a sudden, you know, he did all the things that he never thought he was going to do because there was a finite time. But prior to that, it was always wrapped around fear. And that's the reason why he didn't do it. He always put it off, or it's too scary or whatever. But how would you talk to people who are going through a tough time right now to address the word fear?
Well, ultimately, it comes down to the fact that the fear is all made up in our head.
Yeah.
And some people will push back on me on that, but here's the basics. So a couple thousand of my skydives have been with a camera on my head filming tandems. So I've been looking straight in the eyes of people in the door of the airplane. Now, this is from when they arrive to getting suited up, geared up, on the trailer, on the plane, flying to altitude, in the door, and then they exit the aircraft. So all the way up until that point, I watch the storyline go. I watch the chatter and the silent voice that they have in their head that's making up all these stories about what if this, what if that, blah. And all this is going through their head until the second they exit the plane. And once they exit the plane, their face goes from one of fear to one of elation, excitement. People are fired up in there in the skydive. They're high-fiving. They're cheering. They're waving to family members on the video. They are having a blast. So what happens is this is the hardest thing that I find. The hardest thing for anybody to do a skydive or do that thing or go out and have experience is actually to make the phone call or go online and book it. That is the hardest thing. Like for you, when you made that decision that you were going to climb the seven summits, there was outside environment saying, you shouldn't, don't do this. Have you heard the numbers? Have you seen the news? Yeah. But ultimately what happened is you said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure it out. There are other people that have done it. And if they've done it, I can do it. And that's the process that people go through. So your question about what's happening right now, I fully believe we're only born with two fears, fear of falling and fear of loud noises. Everything else is heard, something learned, something read, somebody told you a story, everything else. Ultimately, fear keeps us safe because it helps us show up prepared. But once you're prepared, there's nothing else you can do. So instead of letting fear be that thing that paralyzes you, I say let it be the energy that fires you up and motivates you to make that next step. And that's the big difference there. And so, yes, I am learning all the time about the coronavirus. I'm understanding what's going on, psychological, and also how it's affecting people physiological. The end of the day, though, I know that I have the knowledge that's been currently given to me to protect myself and my family and then ride out this storm as best I can. Other than that, I'm not going to let any other fear paralyze me about this.
I had a guy on a couple of months ago, Patrick Sweeney, and I'd met him up at Lake Tahoe, and he had this whole saying about fear, use fear as fuel. And, you know, it's pretty much parallels what you're trying to say in terms of taking that, and it can really like propel you forward in some of the things that you want to do in life. I tell you what, I don't think anybody can truly find their greatness without stepping into it. My opinion. Now, you've been called the James Bond of keynote speech making. And so you do go around the globe and you do talk to different people. What has that experience been like for you?
You know, it's been really, really phenomenal. I didn't realize until I decided to be a keynote speaker and really go after it in 2015 is when I put my full mind to it. I'm a horrendous artist. I am a horrendous singer and dancer. The gift that I was given as a kid is communication and the ability to speak from the stage. And for me, what I realized was that when I created an overall experience and I studied this and I took my lifelong learnings of all the books I've read and all the things I've seen and the videos I've watched and personal development, I put this keynote together. I said, look, I want to make sure that it touches the four personality types. I want to make sure that the three learning types are included in there. I want it to be fun and engaging. And I want people to laugh. I want people to potentially cry for those that will choose. I want them to have aha moments in there. There's even a little bit of dancing at the end. And overall, it's an experience for everyone. So when you ask, what has it been like for me? Well, every single event or every single podcast that I get to go on and share the gifts that I've been given and this storyline of the bucket list life and these concepts, the reward is when people reach out to me, when people say, that changed my life, that impacted me, that was something I needed. And I love connecting with people on all social media platforms and at events and things like that. I love giving my time to be able to share that. So for me, it's been so rewarding. And it has been something that during this time, where obviously lots of my speaking events are being postponed and put off to later times when it appears that things are going to be better. And I say, well, you know what? I might not be able to impact someone's life in person, but I do have the opportunity through wonderful podcasts like this one, Mark, to be able to impact people through virtual or audio and be able to make that. So in that case, it still gets to continue. So it's pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the industries that certainly has been affected by all this is the corporate planning of gathering 200, 300, 400, you know, or more people in a room to really fire up the troops and get them going and bringing guys in like you. I've known a number of people around. I've also go out and do, have done some speeches around the country, and it's really fulfilling. And now with the coronavirus, it's another one of those industries that has just come to a screeching halt. Social distancing, so nobody's getting together. I know they're trying to come up with some, like churches and stuff like that, some of the bigger ones trying to come up with ways that they can broadcast in a virtual way. But it's just, you know, adapting again to what's out there and figuring out how you're going to navigate those waters and come out stronger and better than ever. And, you know, I think there's also stories in all this, right? Of really paying attention and really touching those lives when you do come back out and when you do go full force again, that you'll be able to have a great message about overcoming this adversity and moving on, stepping into the fear and being the best you can by the bucket list of life and different things that you can do to really make your life one that is fulfilling, and then turning around at the end of the day and fulfilling, or I'm sorry, for helping others in terms of helping them get to be bigger, better, and stronger in whatever they're up to. So where can people find you to connect in and possibly hire you, you know, when all this stuff does lift?
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's speaking in front of an audience or someone just wants to reach out and connect and say hello. And I also do speaker training and helping speakers get their message out to the world. And that's an additional way that I'm able to impact lives, because my message isn't the only message. So I love to help others get their message out to the world. And it's super simple. It's Kenyon Salo across the board. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and KenyonSalo.com. Just reach out to me and drop me a line. I'd love to connect with anybody and everybody.
Well, I can tell you for sure, you're the only guy that I've ever seen ever that has gone up on a 10-foot ladder and done your keynote speech from, you know, 10 feet up, looking down on everybody. And so very creative, and, you know, great intro and some good laughs out of it too. So I totally appreciate your creativity and what you're able to do. So listen, I totally appreciate you coming on the pod. You know, like you, like me, like so many people out there, we're all trying to navigate this thing right now with coronavirus. We will overcome, we will persevere. And I think it's messages like yours out there that will resonate and lift people up and give them a little kick in the day and get them going and making sure that, you know, they don't just show up at 50%, 75%, but go all in, like you said, at 100%, use that mindset, have that focus go, have the energy follow, and just live to be all you can be.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark.
All right, buddy. Take care. Thank you.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.